This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
What is a scuttlebutt? Like, I hear that and I cringe. What is a scuttlebutt, though?
That's what Gio says whenever he has, like, inside information.
Is it? Yeah. I wouldn't know. I'm always asleep during the morning show. I've never heard him say that. That's a, like...
That's the first time I heard the word was from Gio.
That's a Gio-branded term, then. Scuttlebutt. It's like a tidbit?
No, it's kind of like the gossip.
I don't know. When I hear scuttlebutt, I'm like, ugh, chill, y'all. Relax with that. Don't say that.
It basically just means gossip.
Yeah, I don't have any scuttlebutts for y'all, though. Keith McPherson on The Fan. 2 hours to go. Let's get back to the show. What a movie. This is the script that the NBA had in mind. The Lakers win. And, of course, Luka Doncic in his return home gets the laugh last. You see AD and Luka embracing right now. Where is Nico Harrison? Where's he at? When are they going to have him and Luka embrace? You know, earlier I said the NBA thrives off of these storylines, these narratives. All eyes on Luka in there. This is amazing to see. Of course, he goes back. He drops 45. Let's get the actual box score up here. Because we all knew this. Even I took the call from Jonathan in Los Angeles, who's a Lakers fan. I mean, if you were betting, it probably was, Patrick Mahomes is there. Of course he is, accompanied by Brittany Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes cut off the signature of, like, Mahomes' frohawk. He moving different after the Eagles humbled his ass. No three-peat. Anyway, Luka Doncic is 16-28 for 45 points. How many three balls did he knock down? 7 out of 10 from deep. 6 of 9 free throws. He adds 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals. I thought he was fat. I thought he wasn't in good shape. I thought he was Luka Doncic. He was a plus 26 tonight. Movie. You love to see it. Now, let's take a look at the NBA playoff picture as I transition to talking about the New York Knicks. You know, the Nuggets are on my brain. We'll get there. The Lakers are the 3 seed. Someone called me the other night and they're like, if you had to guess or like you had to put out a NBA Finals prediction, who you got? I'm like, Nuggets, Celtics. I'm going off of who's won it, who's gotten there recently. Just like having the experience and the know-how to get through the tournament. But after they fired Mike Malone and now they have some trouble in paradise, I'm not taking on the Nuggets. I was really just leaning on Nikola Jokic. But now... Like, why can't the Lakers get it done this year? Why can't the Lakers come out of the West? The Thunder obviously are number one. They're ridiculous. They have the MVP. But they're young. And the lights might get too bright for them. Stage might get too big for them. Definitely in a series. The Lakers would have to face the Warriors if it all ended today. That would be a hell of a first round. Steph, Draymond, playoff Jimmy. That would be sick. Buddy Hield. And look at Luka's dad. This is awesome. Like, this is why, like, this is on ESPN, nationally televised. And they could not wait for this. This is ratings. This is the NBA script, the get your popcorn ready cinema type stuff. Luka's return to Dallas. And look at all of these fans. Not that long ago, they were throwing out fans that were coming back saying, sell the team, wearing Luka jerseys in there, being critical of Nico Harrison. Now, all these fans are still in the arena watching their guy walk out in purple and gold shorts. Gotta love the NBA. What's the storyline for the Knicks? The Lakers are the 3 seed in the West. The Knicks are the 3 seed in the East. I just told you I think that the Lakers could get there. Why not? How do the Knicks, if the season ended today, it'd be Knicks versus Pistons. And like, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the Pistons. They got some young guys. Ausar Thompson. Let me start with Cade Cunningham, number one pick. Malik Beasley is like that. Former Brooklyn Net Dennis Schroeder is over there, right? Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart, wants to fight everybody. I think that they would beat the Pistons. Just based off of youth and inexperience, who wants to go to Detroit? That's where the Yankees just were. It sucked. I think they would beat them. I think they could get by them. Tobias Harris, I forgot Tobias Harris was over there. Former Sixer. Jaden Ivey, another top pick. I think that they could survive the Detroit Pistons. But what is the story for these Knicks? The story is when the Mikal Bridges trade happened, and I've told this story 100 times, somebody on Reddit is going to be like, oh my God, he's telling the story again. I went to the Subway Series. I left to come here and do the show. I heard that Mets fans and Yankees fans together were chanting, let's go Knicks, after the Mikal Bridges trade happened. Me, being a Nets fan, I said, oh! Sean Marks was actually able to trade him for that return to the Knicks? Oh, this is going to set up a great future. Oh, this is going to set up a great narrative down the road. Mikal Bridges is not like that. But in theory, he was like that, reuniting with his Villanova Wildcat buddies. Nice little March Madness commercial they had where they leave Dante DiVincenzo out and they throw him the hat or whatever. Mikal Bridges, though, the whole thing is like, Mikal Bridges is not going to be the star that you thought he was. And then you had to go get Karl Anthony Towns. And it's too quick for all of these pieces to come together. You've seen so many different iterations of this Knicks team. There was a point in time where it was Brunson is dropping 40. There was a point in time where this team is all Karl Anthony Towns. You know, those guys get hurt. Those guys are out. Then it's OG Anunoby is an offensive force. Once in a while, you'll get an offensive game out of Mikal Bridges. I don't think it's going to be enough because inevitably they're going to run into the Celtics and the Celtics can beat you any type of way. Maybe I'll bet the Knicks if that actually happens because that's the type of thing. It's like, well, you can't just say it's guaranteed. But I think the story for the Knicks this year is it's going to be a disappointing year if they're another second round exit. There's no progress. And you trade all these picks. You got these talented players on the team. You've changed the team from the team that so many Knicks fans loved last year for what? Where did it get you? It didn't get you further. It's just another year of developing. 888-808-1019. Taking calls on the Knicks. Taking calls on the head coach. Taking calls on Mikal Bridges. Karl Anthony Towns. OG Anunoby. We get it. They should have fouled, but they didn't. They lose in overtime to the Celtics. But how do you feel? Is it glass half full? Because now you feel like we can hang with the Celtics in a series where maybe we could not get swept by them. Maybe we can go 5 or 6. Or is it glass half empty where you're like, yo, no matter what we do, if it's Kristaps Porzingis, if it's Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Drew Holiday, or ultimately Jason Tatum, we're not beating those guys. Those guys are the defending champs for a reason. 888-808-1019. Everything is on the table now. I gave you my takes on Tyler Warren and the Jets and what I think they should be doing in the draft. I gave you my takes on the Giants. And at number 3, I think they should trade back. I think somebody's going to want that top pass rusher, edge rusher, outside linebacker, Abdul Carter, and they don't necessarily need him, but they need to stockpile picks and add as much talent to this team so that this team can take a step forward to competing this year. But it, you know, doesn't hurt to have Abdul Carter. I don't think they're going to take Travis Hunter. I think Travis Hunter is stuck on wanting to play both sides of the ball, and the Giants don't have time for that experiment. I told you about Devin Williams. Actually, let's take a call, and we'll talk about Devin Williams again. Connor is in Huntington on the Fan. Hello, Connor.
Hey, what's up, man?
You know, talking sports and stuff.
Yeah. Full transparency, I'm a Mets fan. I'm not a Yankee hater, but I'm a Mets fan. But from the outside looking into, like, the Yankee fan base, I feel like the past like, decade or so, there's always a guy on the team that the fan base kind of collectively hates.
Yeah, and that guy, that's what I call the whipping boy. You're correct.
Yeah, like, it was Glaber, and before that was Gallo, before that was Donaldson.
Aaron Hicks.
And then it probably goes back further. But, yeah, in fact, Aaron Hicks, a big one.
Chris Carter.
So I feel like now that we don't really have a whipping boy, that people are kind of jumping the gun on hating Devin Williams. But every logical baseball fan knows Devin Williams is Devin Williams. Like, so what are your thoughts on that? Do you think people are obviously jumping the gun, but
people were ready to quit on Jason Dominguez. He was starting to be the whipping boy, and I'm like, please do not quit on this guy. Embrace the Martian. Yes, Devin Williams has been the whipping boy because he went on paternity leave. He's had a ton of hype. He hasn't lived up to the hype. But like you said, anybody that has watched baseball and seen this guy pitch over the years knows that he's got nasty stuff. That when he does get going, he's got unhittable stuff. He's going to strike guys out. He's got to get the last three outs of the game. It's going to happen more than not.
I totally agree, man. It's just that I think it's in the DNA at this point. Like, it's been so long with the whipping boy. They need a new one. And like, we have to have someone actually underperform for an extended period of time before we can jump on someone like that.
Yeah, I said for a little while, Juan Soto was the whipping boy. He's not even on the team. But, there, you know, Yankee fans were actively booing him and chanting F Juan Soto and rooting for him to fail, hate watching Juan Soto. I'm like, get over it. He's not on the team
That's
anymore.
Crazy.
But I understand. Thanks for the call, Connor. It's part of the culture. You need somebody to take the brunt of the abuse. You need somebody to point at and be like, this guy sucks. The Yankees won today, and the conversation is Devin Williams sucks. Only in New York, man. Let's go to Jersey City and talk to John on the fan. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
Holding it down.
Hey, man, I just wanted to talk about Membu going to the Jets. I think that would be the best move for us.
Yeah, you want to shore up the offensive line for sure. You want to have two bookends. You want to have Fashanu and Membu for the next 10 years. I understand it. I just don't think it's sexy. I understand it. I just think that there's a weapon that can block and catch that can help your new quarterback that's going to get the fans energized, you know?
Yeah. Now, what do you think about them talking about trading Breece Hall and possibly getting Genty? What do you think about that? And I'll just go ahead and leave out and listen to you on the radio, man. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for the call, John. No. Now, I understand Breece Hall, they didn't draft, but you got him in a kind of a steal of a position. Man, this time last year, we were talking about Breece Hall being Christian McCaffrey levels. They had Breece Hall ranked higher than Saquon Barkley. When you think about that, Saquon Barkley goes for 2,000 yards, wins the damn Super Bowl. People were ranking Breece Hall as a better fantasy running back, as a better overall running back than Saquon Barkley last year. Oh, the Aaron Rodgers hype. That ayahuasca pipe. We had people actually thinking Breece Hall was going to be a better running back. And I was McCaffrey, Breece Hall, and I don't even know if they had Saquon right after. They might have had, who knows, Derrick Henry. I'm trying to think of who the top backs were in fantasy football. Joe Mixon. But no, I wouldn't trade Breece Hall. I think you want to keep that draft class together of Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, Jermaine Johnson. Like, that's something that the regime before this regime actually hit on, actually did right. And, you know, Ashton Jeanty, I think he's going to be a good back, but he needs the right situation. He needs an offensive line. He needs some receivers. He needs a good quarterback. He's not plug and play. I saw him get humbled. You know, he's not going to be going up against who'd they play out there in Boise State? I'm blanking on, what teams they play. You know, they're out there playing against like Eastern Washington or like Air Force. Let's see, App State, New Mexico, UNLV, Fresno State, San Diego State, Colorado State, Utah State. Like, if you saw Jeanty in the bowl game against Penn State, it's a different level of competition. And big boy's going to be at that line of scrimmage, getting off blocks. And if there's not a wide open hole and lane for you to run through, I think he's going to be a good player. But in this modern day, like, why are we taking backs high? Haven't we learned as we talk about Saquon Barkley, which I still think was the right pick. I mean, he is on his way to the gold jacket like they thought. They just never got an offensive line in front of him. They just never had the team around him. He gets with a team that has a good quarterback, good wide receivers, great offensive line. He's in year 7. Like, look what he becomes. But, yeah, I wouldn't draft Ashton GT at 7 with the Jets. I don't know. What was the trade? No. Because, like, the trade and trade Breece Hall away and then draft him at 7? No. Glenn isn't lying to you when he says that they have 3 young, talented backs that they plan on utilizing. They didn't use Braylon Allen enough in short yardage last year. Now you got the threat of him and Justin Fields. Just run zone read with those two. Kind of like you saw Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson run. Jarvis is up in Harlem on the Fan. What's up, Jarvis?
What's up, Keith? How are you?
Hanging in there.
Yeah, just watching my Nuggets. And, you know, so the yesterday news that they fired Mike Malone, which is shocking. But, you know, so, I mean, it's a point. 3 games left. And, you know, they got the Kings. They got a final home game against the Grizzlies, which is important. And they got a final games on the road against the Rockets. But the Rockets got nothing to play for because they locked in number 2 seed. So, you know, so it was a big point game for my Nuggets. So, and so I want to talk about the Jets and, you know, I hear Woody Johnson say I got to be a better owner and, you know, try to, you know, change the culture and then think this team is going to get better. So, and which he always screw it up, you know, so that's what always does as an owner. So, you know, say, well, I mean, that think the Jets fans are going to have faith in them, which they don't believe them. So, yeah, so.
Thanks for the call, Jarvis. 888-808-1019. I'm going to give Woody a pass. I just think that Woody has done some right things, and we won't know until a couple years from now. I'm going to give Woody a little bit of a pass. I feel like he gets bullied a lot. I feel like he gets blamed a lot. Rightfully so, I get it. But it's like, you know, the guy got an F rating. He's the lone owner that, like, it's just no one has his back. They bring his kids into it. He's got the longest drought in sports. Like, I'm just going to give Woody a little bit of a pass here. Nick, I'm about to send you some audio to play. We'll take another call here, and then I'll cue up this audio. But I'll tease the audio with the fact that, yeah, they said, you know, Woody was the decision maker on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers isn't here because of Woody. And I didn't believe that either. My whole thing was, like, Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugi told you they're going to watch the film. They're going to watch every single play. And I think if they actually went back and combed through that film and watched every single play, they knew that it was time to move on with Aaron Rodgers and not start their regime with Aaron Rodgers. But the same way I'm giving Woody a pass and some grace, we'll give some grace to Aaron Rodgers after this next call. Let's go to Kareem in Manhattan on the Fan. What's up, man?
Hey, man, I'm going to give you 5 hot takes that are things, fearless predictions that you will end up agreeing with. Number 1, Warren is a beast, but you guys aren't smart enough for the Jets or the Giants to get your Bravaro and your Gastineau. That's why you guys suck. And I hate the fact that you suck because you're old school franchises.
Wait, secondly, who sucks? Wait, hold on. Back that up. Wait.
You know,
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Cam Scataboo. Somebody's going to get a steal in the draft. I think you dropped an S-bomb and a D-bomb, so I had to let you go, Kareem from Manhattan. Thanks for the Fan. I knew you were coming in hot. That's why I had to jump in. I usually let people get run, but like you both suck. I'm like, wait, who are we talking about? One. That didn't go anywhere, but I know somebody on hold heard that. Anyway, let's play the audio that I was queuing up. So, you know, as I was talking about Woody and people blaming the departure of Aaron Rodgers on him, well, Aaron Rodgers' name popped up again. They were asking about him. So Jamie in Sherwood is asked what it's like not having Aaron Rodgers around anymore. Can we?
What's it like not having Aaron Rodgers around anymore?
You know, Aaron Rodgers was a great person, a great player, obviously. You know, He taught everybody in this building a lot just in the 2 years he was here. He taught me a lot just from being a younger backer, you know, seeing how he saw the defense plays. And, you know, obviously he, when we practiced against each other, he did great things with his eyes to help put me in a position. So I can say, you know, he helped create a standard for myself and those other guys on offense. So he really basically like left like a mark on all of us. Again, he just taught us all so much in a short span of time that we can all carry the rest of our lives, the rest of our football careers. So he meant a lot to us.
Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Some Jets fans started singing it, not knowing what it was. And they will keep on singing it forever just because. Shout out to Aaron Rodgers, though. As much as we talk about Aaron Rodgers still and what he is and what he isn't, is he a Steeler? Is he not a Steeler? Is he going to be in the NFL? Is he going to wait for the Vikings? Is he going to retire? Like, I honestly think, and especially watching the way that the season ended and how those players embraced Aaron Rodgers, and then even hearing the reaction from some of the players when they moved on from Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers is a football savant. Aaron Rodgers is a guy that you can't help but learn from being around him in a football setting. So he definitely left an imprint on the Jets, but it was time to move on. He's 41. It was time to move on. The guy is completely self-centered and about himself. You need a 1 of 53 guy. And I say that to say this, we won't play the audio, I'll just read it. Justin Fields was asked, right? Justin Fields is what, 25? Justin Fields just got here. He's 26. He just turned 26 last month. But Justin Fields was asked today about the possibility of the Jets drafting a quarterback this year. And he said, I don't really like to answer rhetorical questions. I'm willing to teach, but I'm not really interested in rhetorical questions. Like the thing about that too, like he shouldn't have to even worry about that because they said he's the guy in the contract. The contract says he's the guy. And also, like, I think that's a hypothetical question more than a rhetorical question. But, there is rhetoric around, oh, if Shedeur Sanders drops to 7, would the Jets take him? No, they don't need to do that. The Jets need to end their playoff drought. They have 2 quarterbacks, potentially 3. They don't need that guy. But I did like the fact that, like, Justin Fields said, I'm willing to teach. He's even saying, like, you know, he'll deal with the situations. He didn't say a bad word about the Steelers. He didn't say a bad word about the Jets. Uh-oh. I got a feeling some bad words are coming through. Let me go to NHL.com. Ooh, what the hell happened? The Flyers, it was 5-4 last time I checked the score. Flyers beat the Rangers 8-5. What the hell happened? Robbie is in Lennox on the fan. Go for it, Robbie.
Hey, Keith, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. Well, at least your team's going to make the playoffs.
And the Devils clinch with that Flyers win.
Right. Let me tell you something, Keith. Exactly. Let me tell you something. I've been a Ranger fan since 1973-74. I had to watch Dale Roth get the crap beat out of him. Notice I said crap instead of a word with an S. That's all the years of radio I did anyway. This team is the biggest abomination I've ever seen in my life. I knew when it was 4-3. I said, I'm just waiting for the Flyers to tie the game. Bam. A minute and a half later, they scored. Jonathan Quick looked 39 tonight. So I know Jonathan Quick has had a pretty good year, but tonight he looked his age. He was horrendous in this game. I have never seen a power play that's more disorganized than this power play. Keith, I don't understand. This general manager has done such an atrocious job. This coach has done such an atrocious job this season. This is the second time that a team has missed the playoffs after they've won the President's Trophy. It hasn't happened that much. This is the second time the Rangers have done it. But if you look at the history of hockey, this is one of the only times a team has missed the playoffs after they've won the President's Trophy. I am so disgusted watching this team. They are heartless. They are gutless. They don't block shots. And Chris Drury went out and he got a bunch of C defensemen this year. That's what he did. He said, okay, I'm going to get rid of Trouba, right? I'm getting rid of our captain. I'm going to get rid of Barkley Goodrow in the offseason, a guy who blocks pucks. I don't give a box, fat rear end, how many points he gets. He's a guy with Stanley Cup experience. He's a guy who blocks pucks. And then they get rid of Ryan Lindgren, another guy had guts. It's just, I can't imagine what these guys should all walk up to Sam Rosen tonight, right? And personally apologize to him for the last season that Sam's doing, right? And yeah. They're not making the playoffs. And they should award some kind of patch for Al Troutwig. I mean, where's the guts and the heart on this team? Where's the leadership on this team? They went out and they got 30. So now they want to build a team around 32-year-old JT Miller next year. Great Chris Drury. Can we get rid of Chris Drury? Obviously, the guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing, Keith. Anyway, thanks for letting me vent. Good luck to the Devils. At least Tom Fitzgerald, you know, knows what he's doing a little bit. They're drafting well. They signed some good free agents. They're building a deal. Look, the Devils signed good defensemen. Look, Dougie Hamilton's been hurt. He got Pesci, who's terrific. Mm-hmm. Okay, they got good defensemen. Who do the Rangers go out and get a bunch of C defensemen? Will Borden? And then they go and re-sign him. Then they go and get this guy, Nekalainen, who stinks for Trouba. Then they go at the worst trades, Connor Soucy, who looks like he's running around like Dorothy Hamill.
Thanks for the call, Robbie. You have now entered into Robbie and Ross Rangers pod. Ross is in Bergen County on the Fan. Tell us what you feel about those no-quitting New York Rangers.
Dog, they quit in December. But now you can pull up the clip. So who is it, Drewski or somebody with that meme of the dancing on the grave? Because this is the nail in the coffin. And, you know, Robbie brought up, I don't got the resume Robbie has. He talked about 70s or something. I've been a fan since 2013, give or take. So you're getting it from a much different perspective. But one thing we got in common, both of our lives, this is the most sorry, most disgusting, gutless is the word he brought up. I heard Marash bring the word up. And this is the most latest one, and probably the worst, because he brought up not only Sam, and I've called you. I think I talked to Patty Boyle. I think Lopresti, numerous people, and I always bring up even Beningo, the Sam rhetoric. I mean, the fact that not only you give us this year post-President's Trophy year, I mean, how many times did I call you up saying there was flaws with this team, me not really being an analytic geek, but, I mean, I didn't need to pull up, you know, the per 60s and all that to tell you that this was a team that was so reliant on having the best goalie in the league. Hell, you heard Mike Rupp today. I don't know if you know Mike Rupp, longtime Ranger Devil. He played, now he's with the network. And he was saying he was on those teams with Marty Brodeur. He said, you know, kind of the whole notion that Marty Brodeur isn't the best goalie of all time because of the team around him. No, it's actually, you know, the fact that he was as good as people say he was. Just the team around him helped him. And that's the difference with this team, that we have the best goalie in the league. Now, I don't think we should have paid him the money he got, but he's still one of the best, if not the best goalie in the league, and nobody around him helps him. That doesn't exempt him from blame this year. I think he has a big part of the way this season went down. Just kind of going back to my original point this year, obviously Sam, but they bring back John Davidson for tonight too. And I don't know if you remember the falling out from the Tom Wilson incident in 2020, but they gave John Davidson the door, is now an executive with Columbus, also gave Jeff Gorton the door, who is now in the front office with the Montreal Canadiens, which is a team heavily revolving around young talent that was developed properly. They just called up Ivan Demidov. They drafted this freaking year. You watch, he'll be on that top six. Meanwhile, I don't know if you saw tonight, Keith, but Gabe Perreault, we drafted him 20th overall, not this past year, the year before, basically fell into our lap. He was making a name for himself in college, Boston College, on that top line. Will Smith and Ryan Leonard, who's on the best team in the conference, playing meaningful. This team hasn't played meaningful games in 2 weeks. We can't play the 20-year-old over the old stiffs like Mika Kreider. They don't even want to play hockey. Mika wants to be a freaking DJ. He wants to be playing music that freaking Lugauer is going to be playing to open and close his show. Kreider probably scored his first goal in 2 weeks. Box is a joke. I mean, you go through the lines, man, and just to sum it all up, this was Sam and JD's first game since I was alive. To sum up my, you know, talking about Robbie's resume, in my lifetime, I finally got to watch Sam and JD call a game, but, you know, with Sam's fourth to last game of his 40-year career. And they watched 8 goals get scored on them against the Flyers, who's probably like one of 5 teams whose season ended before the Rangers. He's got Tyson Forrester's first career hat trick. I mean, just like kind of the notion that everybody gets their first career goal, first hat trick. Everybody got a first career win for goalies. Everybody gets their milestones against us on Garden Ice because of the stage they're on. And it seems like the only people who care about the Garden stage are the people in the white jerseys, not the ones in the red, white, and blue ones, man. And when Sam said this would last a lifetime in 94, he wasn't kidding. And I thought he was talking about his, not mine, but he might be right either way. Because I don't think I've seen a cup in my lifetime.
Tough.
I appreciate the time, Keith.
You got it, Ross. 888-808-1019. I'll let y'all vent because as a Devils fan, I'm over here like... It's tough, man. So Vincent Trocheck broke his stick on the net. People are saying, fire Drury, fire Lavi. Fire them all right now. Damn. There's still four games left. I mean, I know the playoffs are completely out. And that's what sucks about it, too. They play with you. They toy with you. You had a shot. The Devils ended it on Saturday. But, like, to go out this way, no quit in New York, like, they have absolutely quit. They have absolutely folded. They have absolutely packed it up. That's tough. It's not what you want. It's not what you want. I do feel bad for Sam Rosen, an all-time legend, a great at what he's done, going out like this, you know. Which one would you prefer, to go out like this or to get all the way to the World Series and then have the team melt in the fifth inning and go out the way that, you know, the Yankees sent John Sterling out? I think you'd rather get to the World Series. I think you'd rather at least go on the ride to get to the postseason. Go on the ride to get, you know, to the Fall Classic. There is no ride. This ride is over for the Rangers. 888-808-1019. Let's take a break right here. We'll breathe for a second. I see Devils fans calling. We got a Knicks-Celtics call. Yanks call. Hey, we're talking sports on The Fan in New York. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this. This is how we do it. It's Wednesday night. KM to AM on The Fan. You're supposed to only play it on Fridays. It's all good, Nick. You got it. It's okay. Let's get back to the phones. We got a ton of people on the line now. We're talking everything. I mean, it's a five-hour show. I've hit on the Yankees, the Knicks, the Jets, the Giants. And if you just tuned in before the break, you heard Robbie and Lennox, lifelong Rangers fan, twice as long as Ross in Bergen County, lifelong Rangers fan, maybe even three times. It's tough. The Rangers absolutely have melted and blown it, and their fans are disgusted with how this team has gone completely south. So we'll get back to the phones. We're talking everything now, and I see some Devils fans that want to chime in and dance on the graves. We'll get there. Liam is in Wall Township. Thank you for holding. You're live.
Hey, how's it going, Keith? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So, first things first, Max Fried threw an absolute gem today. I was getting chills down my, you know, spine, reminiscent of prime Garrett Cole, like, stuff all over the place, composure, missing calls, and unlike Rodon, bouncing back and getting that strike three call after, just huge.
Yeah, yes.
I do have one big question about the Yankees. What happens when Stanton comes back? Because I see Ben Rice mashing the ball from the left side. Obviously, you don't want to pull Goldschmidt out if he's hitting 400. So, if I'm Aaron Boone, I don't know what the hell I'm doing when Big G comes back.
Yeah, I would say I'm not worried about that. We'll worry about that when we got to worry about that. Big G could be back Cinco de Mayo. He could be back 4th of July. You know, and when he comes back, it's a good problem to have. But they're going to slow play him. You need him for October. There's going to be pain and a pain tolerance to manage with the elbows. I think they're going to play the matchups, and you might see, you know, Big G DH, you know, once or twice a series, but I wouldn't worry about that. These are good problems to have. They're going to find a way to play everybody.
I just think that he's too good of an asset to keep on, you know, the bench for a prolonged time.
Like yeah, he makes too much money. You got to play him as soon as he's ready to go. But you play matchups. They were talking about him platooning last year. So, you know, he's not going to be in there every day at DH.
Right. But it's a good problem to have, like you said. And I'm just so excited to see Max Fried for the next few years. And obviously when Cole gets back, that 1-2 punch is going to be elite.
Yes. Thanks for the call, Liam. Yeah, they're different kind of pitchers, Cole and Fried. But, like, they're both masters of their craft. So, like, watching today, it was so refreshing. As I was talking about the vibes and the energy, you don't expect Carlos Carrasco to beat Tarek Skubal. I don't. However the game shakes out, I don't expect that to be a win. You don't expect Carlos Rodon to overcome anything. The joke I've been using is if his shoelaces come untied, he's got a puss on his face about that. He doesn't overcome that. But when the team is facing being swept, when the team is facing being 6-6, 500 coming home. The guy that you paid and gave an 8-year contract to went, you know, probably a year or two too far to land him. A guy that talked about, you know, being a Yankee and wanting to be a Yankee and preparing and competing and winning and all of this stuff that the Yankees stood for. Man, was it nice to see him come out there. You know, that second inning where he strikes out the side, like, that is where I was like, okay, folks, look, we got a guy. This is the vibe. This is the energy. Even if these guys are freezing their asses off, even if these guys are going to strike out today and not really figure it out, like, this guy on the mound is in control. Four-seam fastball, changeup, curveball, slider, sweeper, whatever you want. Max Fried cooks it up. I was pumped about that, you know. Big week for, like, the food puns and stuff. Fried, fried, Ben Rice. You got Michael Kay doing chicken tender reviews. You've got Austin Wells doing burrito reviews. You've got Cody Bellinger eating bad wings. 888-808-1019. Moses is in Lakewood on the Fan. You're next up. You got it.
Yo, Keith. How's it going?
It's going, bro. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, so a Devil's point and a Yankees point. So here, if when I'm playing MLB The Show 25, Gerrit Cole's pitching a perfect game. I just won the World Series. Now, when Big G comes back, where are you going to put him? You can't take up Ben Rice. He's hitting solid, and he could run, and he's a utility player in a sense, first and catcher.
What I'll say is these things tend to work themselves out. By the time that G comes back, we might not be as healthy. By the time that G comes back, we've already seen Goldschmidt get rest. By the time that G comes back, Ben Rice is a young guy. He's going to sit on the bench and be a pinch hitter and come into the game. Right now, he's just a DH because we have Goldie at first, which is where he would be playing. He's not going to play catcher. He's not going to be the backup catcher. I don't know. I can't worry about that, right? They haven't given us a definitive date, time, week, series for Stanton. Right now, I'm just worried about them getting back to the Bronx and being able to compete against the Giants, who I've started off their season pretty solid.
Trade him for Alcantara. The Marlins could use Stanton. And the Yankees could use Alcantara.
The Marlins trade Giancarlo Stanton back to the Marlins for Sandy Alcantara? I'll do it in a second. Yep. Sign me up. Yeah, hell yeah. I'm down for it. Yup. If they'll do it, I'm doing it. I'll do it. And twice on Sunday. Yup. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
And my Devil's point to Ravi, the Rangers fan that called him before, maybe you'll be sitting on the couch watching some Devils hockey, if you may, and you can always join the clan of the Devils. You're always welcome. The Rangers will always buckle in the biggest moments, and they have no hope. And Keith, I hope to see you by the rock, by the playoffs. Have a good night.
Woo! 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 Man, these young Devils fans are calling into the Fan talking crazy. Anthony is in Kings Bay. You got it, Ant.
Well, back to the young Devil fan here. I'm only 20, so I mean, I've been a fan of this team my whole life. Huge Devil fan. I mean, it's great to watch that regular season championship team, the Rangers, there just fall from grace.
Hang the banner. President's Trophy.
I mean, it didn't really work out well for him this year. But, I mean, as a Devils fan, I am kind of worried for the playoffs and what's to come. I mean, you know, injuries to our defense, not having Jack Hughes. Whatever happened on Tuesday night at the Rock against the Bruins, that was...
Forget about it.
That was pretty brutal. But, I mean, I'm just hoping for the playoffs. We could come back strong. You know, Markstrom, as long as he keeps playing how he's been playing, you know, in the beginning of the season, that was amazing. As long as we keep having some stellar, like, great saves from him. Great play from the offense. Timo Meier, as long as he keeps it up in the playoffs.
Yep.
I mean, I've got a good feeling, but...
Jesper Bratt and the Bratt Pack. Shout out to the Bratt Pack. Repping.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the Bratt Pack. I actually have one of his shirts. Great shirt.
That's my guy. Shout out to Nico Hischier. And, you know, Jack Hughes isn't there, but Luke Hughes is. And...
Yeah, Luke's there. He's been playing good.
I had this messed up thought, and I'm going to speak on it, but I love Jack. And I think he's a great young player, and he has more greatness ahead of him. But in the Four Nations Classic, he came up kind of small, right? There's a lot of people saying, you know, so not for nothing, like, the Devils aren't going to have him. Maybe there is some type of blessing in disguise, some silver lining. Like, what if he came up small in this run this year with the Devils? That would be tough.
Yeah.
So I had that thought where I'm like, maybe there's just like a, you never know in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You never know if Markstrom stands on his head, as they say, and these guys play tougher defense, which was the whole thing in the offseason to make this defense better with Kovacevic and Brendan Dillon. And you know what I'm talking about. Like, these guys aren't going to lay down. They're going to get out there, and it's going to be a heightened sense of urgency, and they're going to play tough. And, man, 2 years ago when the Devils knocked off the Rangers in the playoffs, I wasn't on a fan. I was in my paternity leave, and I was watching at home, and it was lit. And I'm like, I'm listening to the fan at night, and we had Sal Licata, and we had some of the other Ranger fans on the station.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all Rangers. And I'm like, can we get somebody to speak from a Devils fan perspective? And no Devils fans were calling in. So maybe if we make a run this year, I'll be able to hold it down, and Devils fans like yourself will be able to call in.
Yeah, playoff hockey is different, way different world than regular season hockey. I'm excited to get back into it. I'm happy we're back in the playoffs, and I'm excited to get to the Rock for a game.
Yeah, I got to get back. Thanks for the call, Anthony. 888-808-1019. I need to actually look at the Devils' schedule. I mean, I'm not going to assume that I can get into the playoff games, or maybe I can. I've never been to a playoff hockey game. That would be legitness. But the Devils play the Penguins Friday. I'm going to the Yankee game. Then they play the Islanders Sunday. That's my son's birthday. I can't go to that game. Maybe I can go next Wednesday. Maybe I can go next Wednesday. Got to get back in there and feel that energy of the Prudential Center, the Rock. It's turned up. The Islanders are not making the playoffs. The Rangers are not making the playoffs. The New Jersey Devils have to hold it down for the entire tri-state. David is in Virginia on the Fan in New York. What's up, David?
Hey, Keith. Thanks so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for making it.
I want to talk potential Knicks-Celtics matchup, but before that, can I get a couple points in regarding the Yankees? It'll be really quick.
Yeah, you got it.
Sure. Kevin Williams, it is ridiculous, and you can't, as a Yankee fan, give up on him or even have negative thoughts regarding him. Because if he struggles this year, guess what? You'll lose. Because you can't expect a ton out of your starting pitching. You need every arm possible in that bullpen. And you max this guy out, essentially, with a contract, he'll be fine. The guy just had a baby. He's just getting acclimated to New York. Nobody knows that he hasn't been on his game more than him with these first three outings. Just let's give the guy a little bit of a break, and he'll be fine because he has to be fine. And if he's not fine, we'll lose. And also, if I'm not mistaken regarding the Yankees, they did have Ben Rice catching in spring training.
Yeah, they did.
So when Big G gets back, you know, hey, like you've mentioned before, there'll be plenty of at-bats for him, and he could even potentially spell Austin Wells 1 or 2 days a week. I know that they're both left-handed catchers.
So is J.C. Ascara, the backup catcher, who's only made...
He's also a lefty.
Yeah. I don't know if they're confident in Ben Rice behind the plate, but if they can get confident in him behind the plate and have his bat in the lineup on a day that Austin Wells is off... That'd be great. I think they have options. I think they're going to figure something out. And like I said, these things figure themselves out. And great point about the starting rotation. If the starting rotation is shaky right now and the bullpen we look at as a strength and Devin Williams is a part of that strength, we need to pick this man up. Do 100%. Not boo him. Enough of the talk about the beard policy. Enough rants about he sucks. Like, we literally need this guy.
Yeah, and he has a track record. And we know one thing about sport. Everything regresses to the mean. He'll be absolutely fine because he's been wonderful for the entirety of his short career.
Right.
Regarding Knicks versus Celtics, and I know, you know, obviously, you know, the Knicks still will likely need to get by the Pistons, even though the 3 seed isn't locked up yet. They'll probably end up there. You know, Boston's been just shooting the lights out against the Knicks, and I really think that Tibbs needs to evaluate his ball screen coverage because everything in the NBA comes down to ball screen defense in the half court. Boston's been able to move the basketball like crazy and get anything that they want from three-point range. The truth of the matter is Boston is going to live and die by the three. I would love to see Tibbs go to an old-school push-ball screen coverage where he's ever defending the basketball is going underneath everything. Whoever the screener defender is pushing up on that screener defender, and we're going to take away ball movement from the Celtics. And if you're going to kill us from the three-point line, you're going to kill us from the three-point line with the ball sticking. We're not going to let you move the basketball and get open threes. So if Jaylen Brown or even Jason Tatum's handling the ball at the top of the key and Horford or Zinger is setting that high ball screen, I want to push right up into that screener, fan out on all my other shooters, and just slip that, and slide that screen, go under it, and make Boston shoot three-point shots without moving the basketball. Guys are getting too many touches for the Celtics. The ball's popping too much. If they're going to beat us from the three-point line, let them beat us without guys getting in an offensive rhythm. I want to see zero passes per possession in the half court for the Celtics. I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it sounds good until you can't execute on it. It sounds good until Brunson can't get it done, or Karl Anthony Towns can't get it done, or Mikal Bridges can't get it done. I won't say OG. You know what I'm saying? It sounds good until it's not executed. They haven't been able to defend the three all year. I think they've had plenty of conversations about how, and they haven't been able to.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm saying concede the three to the man with the basketball. And as long as we're going underneath that initial ball screen and pushing into the screener defender, I don't see how we could botch that. Let's prevent the Celtics from popping the basketball around.
Then they're gonna drive. Like they're just gonna change their approach. They could go into the paint with Porzingis. They have guys that can shoot and also dribble the basketball. They can beat you in multiple different ways. It's not just the three. They could take advantage of the three against the Knicks because it's always there. But like you think Joe Mazzulla is not going to adjust to that? He will, and they have the dogs to do it.
I think he will, but I mean, I just remember how TJ Ford used to be defended, and how in the NBA, Jason Kidd used to be defended when teams were using the ball when they were ball screening and they would be dared to shoot 3-point shots. I just want to prevent as much ball movement from possible.
Understood. Yeah, Tibbs is going to have to come up with something in the second round. Yeah. His job is potentially on the line. He's got to figure out some kind of way to stop them.
Right, and we don't want to see same old on the defensive end of the floor. And unfortunately, that's what we've seen every time they've played the Celtics. So let Tibbs go to some sort of radical idea. And I really appreciate you taking the call, Keith.
No problem. Thanks for the call, David. 888-808-1019. I can get another call in before we get to the break. Dave is in Rockland. You're live, Dave. Go for it.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Keith? I really love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Habs fan, and I just want to give a shout-out to all those Rangers fans who, at the beginning of the season, they all doubt, oh, you Habs not going anywhere, you're not going to the playoffs. Yeah, well, we're playoff-bound, we're young, we're exciting, and your Rangers are on the verge of a collapse. So just wanted to say that.
Shout-out to Capo Caco. Shout-out to Jacob Trouba.
Yeah. I just want to ask you, if the Giants come through, Shedeur Sanders sitting there, you taking him or you taking either Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, whoever's there?
Yeah, I think the Shedeur Sanders ship has sailed. I don't think that they're going to draft a quarterback at three. That's why they signed two NFL quarterbacks that got starts last year, where it's like, if one is hurt, we got another one. If one sucks, we got another one. They have to draft an impact player that can impact winning week one. That could be Travis Hunter, but I don't know what position they're going to try and make him play. I would assume they'd make him a receiver, and he's going to want to play both, but whatever, he's going to do what he's told. And then Abdul Carter as well, rushing a passer, it's something that you have to do in this league every year. Like, we just watched Patrick Mahomes get chased down and thrown off his game because the Philadelphia Eagles were all over him rushing a passer. They could not stop those guys. So that's a recipe that I think other teams are going to try and imitate. Maybe you get Abdul Carter, or you trade back, because somebody's going to want Travis Hunter or somebody's going to want Abdul Carter, and you get them on the phone and they're willing to give you their first round pick later and maybe a second round pick, and then you're able to get more talent and more depth at different positions.
Right, but what about the future? When are we going to get a quarterback if we don't take one now?
The fans are thinking about the future. The future for Shane and Dable is right now. There is no tomorrow for them. They're living day by day. They got to figure out how to put the best team on the field to win now. They're not worried about who's going to be the quarterback in 2028.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for taking my call, Keith. I love your show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Dave. 888-808-1019. We're going to take a break here. This is my last hour, another 5 hour KM to AM about to be in the books. When we come back, we'll do the big shot of the night. And historically, the last hour of my show is open mic time. Whatever you want to talk about, even though we've been pretty open, whatever you want to talk about in the wide world of sports, we can do. This is Keith McPherson again on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.